We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Got to be honest, still feeling the effects a little bit. It's just my age, I imagine. Still feeling the effects a little bit of some jet lag. Coming back was definitely harder than going over. We recently made a trip to Wittenberg, Germany, Jeff and I. We were going over to not only just check things out, but also going over there in order to broadcast live from the old Latin school in Wittenberg, Germany, right across the street from the city church, the church where Luther preached, where Bugenhagen was pastor. And we had the opportunity to broadcast, to talk to a number of guests from, what was the name of the conference that was being held over there? It was the
International Lutheran Congress on Luther Research or something like that? Research?
A bunch of historians.
Yes.
A bunch of historians over there. So we had an opportunity to speak to some of the attendees of that Congress and take a look around, sample some of the local food and experience what? Travel in Europe, probably the best and the worst of travel in Europe. But I wanted to start our little travelogue, Jeff. You actually came away with some very strong impressions, having seen Wittenberg in the 500th anniversary year of the Reformation. What you saw there, it was almost like Luther going to Rome when he went to Rome and had his epiphany about the state of things in the medieval Catholic Church.
Well, first of all, this shows why we shouldn't do show prep, because if you remember when I talked to you, that was the last point on my outline, but that's okay. All right.
But it's the most interesting thing.
Well, maybe to you. I don't know if it's interesting. Okay. So here, now you have to remember, so we were in Wittenberg from what? Monday through Friday, right?
Yeah, we had planned to be there from Sunday until Friday.
Right, right. Yes. We'll get into that. And then you went back and Maria went back on Friday, and Beth and I
Maria
extended
being my wife,
your wife,
just
right?
So people
yeah.
understand.
And my wife's name is Beth or Elizabeth. We continued because we love Italy to Naples, Italy, right? So I got to see Germany and Italy firsthand. Now you know me; I'm not like a flag waving America first. America's always right. America, love it or leave it, type of person, right?
No,
not at all. Not at all. But I came home with a deeper appreciation of my native land.
That's saying something.
It is. It is.
Takes a lot to make you appreciate your native land.
And here's the insight. The insight is people need to go beyond the tourist traps to find what's in the underbelly of these cities and countries. Because the tourist traps are just showing you the best. And all the Europeans, they're so relaxed and they're drinking their cappuccino and everything's great and gorgeous and beautiful and historic. Well, one of the things I love most about my wife is she's fearless. So when we travel, she's just not going to just, you know, she's like, well, let's rent bikes and go around Wittenberg, Germany. Plus, we also had to go to make a trip for equipment to Obi's, the Home Depot of Germany. So when you rent bikes, you get beyond where everybody's going for the 500
the stuff the tours don't want you to see or don't think you should see.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what did you see?
And so, also then in Naples, we stayed in a hotel in downtown Naples, Italy. Okay, so it's not travel company would never put you up in this hotel. It was a nice hotel, but the location would be like,
no,
you don't send Americans there, right? So, having gone off the tourist trap path, what I learned is that I saw more homelessness, trash, graffiti, abandoned buildings, extremely poor housing, and the smell of sewage that's worse than anything I have witnessed in numerous trips to East St. Louis and to downtown, in the worst places of downtown St. Louis. But people don't see that. So my caveat to Americans opining for the United States to become more like Europe is go beyond, go just take a cab, take a moped, whatever you got to do, a couple miles beyond where they're taking you to really find out what life is really all about in Europe.
Do that in Europe. Don't do that, say, in the Caribbean. You'd be taking your life at
I actually, I learned this a long time ago. When I worked on the for Olympia Broadcasting on the Costa Coast Coast Show, they used to send us to, on Norwegian cruise lines to do shows. And this was before I was married and I was stupid, but I would go in Jamaica and, all this, and I'd rent a moped. And I think it was like a thrill thing, like maybe I'll get kidnapped or something. I'll be able to tell a story about it when I come home. You know, you're stupid.
Yeah, you were stupid.
Yeah, and I would go in a moped and I'd go. And the same thing, when you get beyond the ocean and all the nice hotels and everything in the ocean, I mean, you would see poverty. I mean, it was like, wow, you know, what a stark contrast. This is not what the Norwegian cruise lines people, you know, told me to go. And I can see why. So it was very similar experience. So that was my take on one of my takes. Lessons learned under the category lessons learned.
We should say that I was immediately, always am. I've been married for 30 years. Grateful for my wife, but very grateful to have her along on this trip, even though some of the travel was excruciating. Because if it would have been just me and Jeff and I have traveled a lot together. We've had a rule from the very beginning that we're not going to ever, it's a Wilkin rule, I will not room with Jeff Shores.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to room with me.
So, but had we traveled together, even in and taken up separate lodging, I think it would have been a very bleak trip indeed. Most of my trips with Jeff turn out to be kind of bleak that way. But so I was very, very thankful to have my wife along. It made it a whole different experience than it would have been a typical going and doing a broadcast remote with Jeff that we've done dozens and dozens.
Especially after our listeners hear the rest of the story. Yeah. But before we move on, under lessons learned, I had this insight. Americans opining for the public health care system of Europe. How about this? How about public restrooms, public trash cans, and public air conditioning? I say those things first because they're non-existent. As a matter of fact, Italy, everybody is known for just, people throw the trash. I thought they were like eco-friendly. It's like they just pollute. You know, it's like, well, this isn't the image I'm getting of Europe. All right. But public trash cans, they said before Wittenberg, if it wasn't the 500th anniversary, somebody said they were there like a year ago. You know, they did have some out in Wittenberg, nothing in Naples, Italy. But in Wittenberg, they said those all came out for the 500. Usually there's no public trash cans. Public restrooms, you got to pay to use a restroom, and the air conditioning. Please. How about public air conditioning? Where is the government? They should be intervening in these essential daily matters of the everyday life of Europeans.
So your general impression here, I'm just trying to kind of interpret what you're saying here. You're saying that in American society, we're kind of European wannabes, right? That's what American society is becoming culturally. We think that Europe is all that, and we want to be more like them in many respects, politically and socially and morally. You're saying that would be a downgrade.
Look, what Europe has on us is history, which you can't replace, but it's history. I mean, it's not like they're creating new art, great art, or new architecture.
It's like, except for the last couple of weeks of home runs, Yadier Molina's career.
Yeah,
it's mostly history.
Yeah, the way the Cardinals hit the last couple of games.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Not indicative of the St. Louis Cardinals baseball season.
Right, but it's history. It's past. It's, right. They did that.
Right, exactly.
What have you done lately?
Exactly. Okay. So, a couple of things. So, people, please listen. This does have a happy ending. Okay, so please listen to us, hang with us, and also special thanks to our two major donors who made it possible.
Oh yeah, we wouldn't have done it. We wouldn't have been able to do it without them. And it was in terms of the show, which was our goal. I mean, that's why Jeff was willing to put up with no air conditioning and having to search for a bratwurst on the streets of a German town that he thought they would just be flying out the windows of every building.
You're stealing my thunder.
Yeah,
Logan.
But the reason Jeff was willing to do this, because we were there for the show. The show went beautifully. The guests were great. We even had a special bonus there that we weren't expecting. We'll get into that in a moment.
Okay. So before the break, quickly, even though it's the longest carry, travel. So feel free to interject because you had a horror story, even though we took different flights. In St. Louis to Toronto on Saturday, was it Saturday evening?
Yeah.
We had to reboard our plane 3 times because some computer malfunctioned. And you know how hot it gets on a plane? And at one point, we were there for like 40, 45 minutes, just sitting there. And it was a small plane from St. Louis to Toronto. Air Canada, not a big fan. Just saying, not a big fan of Air Canada.
Well, while this was happening, while you were boarding and reboarding and reboarding the same plane just to leave St. Louis, my wife and I had a little family emergency. One of the grandkids was in the ER. I knew earlier that morning that it was going to put our flight at risk. So I started working with Air Canada, and I think that day I spent a total of about 3 hours on hold with Air Canada, just trying to find a flight the next day, which I was assured they'd have, and then they told me they wouldn't. We arrived at the airport 55 minutes before the flight was supposed to take off, and we were told by the very nice fellow at the gate that we had crossed over the one-hour threshold for letting people move on, you know, move from the gate onto the flight, and that we weren't going to be able to make this flight. And he did, to his credit, everything he could do to try and get us on the flight, but he couldn't do it. Computers were not cooperating with him. And so after spending about another 45 minutes on hold with Air Canada, standing there in the airport, I decided just to go home and try again the next day, which was successful.
Another lesson learned is the weaknesses of computer automation. Without flesh and blood people, where you can reason, that poor guy could do nothing. It was the computers told him it's too late.
They said no.
He couldn't override. Yeah. There's no override. So you still need flesh and blood, real people who can feel your pain and can make rational decisions. Because I'm texting Wilk and I'm saying, you're going to make it, buddy. There's the TSA. There's nobody in line at TSA. You got to get by this guy and you'll be able to make the same flight that Beth and I were taking.
I had come home from the ER at 3 o'clock, the flight was at 5:45. I'm not exaggerating. Literally threw clothes, didn't stack, didn't fold. Threw clothes into a suitcase, hoping that I didn't even know what I was packing. I was just throwing clothes in there, and good thing it was radio because I didn't have to appear for anybody. And then we rushed to the airport, and still they said no. So like we went home. I went home, poured myself a drink, got online. Found another flight the next day. Now, my flight, my wife and I flying the next day, was seamless. It was easy. We made it to Berlin. We were just fine. Jeff and Beth's story was a little different, involving a Turkish prison. We'll talk about that after this.
This is Pastor Donald Jordan welcoming you to Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in Chico, California. We stand upon the inspired, inerrant Word of God and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Students at Chico State and Butte College are welcome to our college group. Our divine service is at 10 and Sunday school at 9. We are located at 750 Moss Avenue and our website is redeemerchico.org.
¿Por qué hay cuatro evangelios? ¿Qué pasa con los bebés que mueren antes de nacer? ¿Qué significa temer a Dios? Respuestas bíblicas a preguntas difíciles se encuentran en la edición de agosto de The Lutheran Witness, una revista de la Iglesia Luterana, Sínodo de Missouri. Visite acph.org/trylutheranwitness para una oferta especial. 6 ediciones para $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpretando un mundo contemporáneo desde una perspectiva cristiana.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people. By the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom, God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A little bit of a travelogue of our recent trip to Wittenberg, Germany, broadcast there from the International Congress on Luther Research. And as I said, the broadcast itself, once we got there, was seamless. Before the break, I mentioned we got on our flight the next day. It was really very easy. Flew to Chicago. O'Hare is always a nightmare, but we got through there, got on a plane, and we were in Berlin by 10:30 the next morning. And how'd that go for you?
Well, here's the irony of the story. We made it on time for the flight, but you beat us to Berlin.
Yes. We left the next day.
The next day, beat us to Berlin. So they obviously, having reboarded our flight three times in St. Louis to Toronto, we missed our connecting flight from Toronto to Berlin.
And this is how optimistic and problem-solving oriented Jeff Schwarz is. All the time while he's reboarding, I'm texting with him, and he's saying, "You could still get on this flight. You could still get on this flight." And
Fortunately, you didn't.
I was ignoring those. And then he was, because I was already headed home. I already had a drink in my hand by that time. And he was saying, I was saying, "You're going to miss your connection in Toronto." No, we'll still have time to make it. We'll still have time to make it. But so what happened?
Well, because we had like a 3-hour layover, you know, so we had plenty of time. But we obviously missed our connection in Toronto. So we have to, they put us up in a seedy, for lack of a better word, hotel.
You said Turkish prison.
Turkish prison in downtown Toronto. Air Canada, thank you very much. And so we spent the night there, and our next flight. So then now we got to get a flight still, right? We got to figure out how to get there. Well, Air Canada says we can't get you there until late Tuesday afternoon. It says, no, we have to be broadcasting on Monday, okay? Monday afternoon. I have to. No, Mr. Schwarz, there are no options. No, you will get me a flight. I have to be there Monday. So they rerouted us with a 6:30 flight from Toronto to Zurich, Switzerland. And then 35 to 40 minutes between the time we're supposed to arrive in Zurich, Switzerland, to catch a connecting flight in Berlin Berlin.
So your layover was a half hour.
Yeah, half hour, 35, 40 minutes. But it was, you know, the flight was 5 minutes late. So it ended up being about a half hour. So anyway, by the way, that we sold Air Swiss or something. That was the best airline of the whole trip. Swiss Air or whatever. We got to fly that from Zurich to Berlin.
It was somewhere in here that you started to, you did a shopping spree in Toronto.
Yes.
While you were waiting because.
Well, we went to Old Navy, you know, because we hadn't showered. Well, we showered at the hotel. But
and your luggage was, our luggage was, yeah, it's going ahead of you.
So the frustrating thing was we knew that our luggage was going to be a problem because we were on a different flight. So we knew it's probably in Toronto somewhere, right? So we're going to Air Canada agents can we please see our luggage, or can you trace it down and just make sure it's going on our new flight? No, we don't know where it's at. It'll be in Berlin. It'll make it to Berlin. And we're like, it's in this airport. We've got 12 hours. Let's, you know, send me back to the back room and I'll look for it myself.
Jeff,
you know,
does not take no for an answer.
So they wouldn't budge on that. So we end up taking the flight, or we're going to go to Berlin. Now, the smartest thing we ever did, we put all of our radio equipment, you had to carry on, and I had to carry on. Had we not done that, and you'll find out later why, we would not have been able to broadcast until the very last day from Wittenberg, Germany. Well, the problem is there's lots of electrical equipment. So I tip off the guy in Toronto. I said, look, hey, there's all kinds of electrical radio equipment here. Just want to let you know, why don't you take it to the side and go through it individually rather than run it through your scanner? And he's, no, it's fine. Start going through the scanner, whoop, whoop, whoop. You know, alarms going off, ISIS alert, ISIS alert, ISIS alert. And this guy's like, you've got electronics in here. I said, I know. I told your colleague here. I tried to prevent all this from happening. Well, he thought I was upset with him. I raised my voice at him. And Beth thought I was going to get thrown in prison.
Yeah, Jeff never raises
his
voice.
I thought I was going to get thrown in prison. And I said, look, I tried to prevent all this. Well, now the guy takes me back to where we started. Now the people behind me are obviously upset. And he pulls out every piece of equipment that was bubble wrapped, unwrapped them, handed me the piece of bubble wrap, and every piece of equipment went one by one through the security scan.
I had the other bag, which all they did was pop it open. The guy admired the speakers and did a little bomb sniffing thing with it and just let me walk through with that.
So we make it through security finally, right? And thanks to Air Canada, Beth and I have our seats on a 7.5-hour, 8-hour flight are not together, right? So I'm like, well, this shouldn't be too hard. I go up to the nice Air Canada travel representative, whatever she was, whatever their job titles are. And I said, look, we don't have seats together. And this is why, because Air Canada, we had to reboard our flight. She's not even looking at me. She's looking to the other guy like, first of all, she goes, I said, so we can get your seats together. No, it's a full flight. I was like, no, you don't understand what Air Canada has done to us so far. And she's not even listening to my story. She had no empathy whatsoever. And I said, ma'am, are you even listening to me? Yes, I am. So I'm at a boiling point, and the guy next to her is like, here, Mr. Schwartz, here's, we got two seats, you know, they're aisle seats next to each other. So we've got seats together. I told you about the 35 minutes between the expected landing in Zurich to take her blimp. So in the course of doing that, we're like rushing, right? So we went to Old Navy to buy clothes for the next day. We left it on the overhead baggage area.
The Zurich flight,
from Zurich to Berlin.
So the clothes you had bought because you needed clothes, you left on a plane.
Yes. Okay. And we still don't have those back. I don't think we'll ever get those back. Then
there's some Swiss guy wearing your cargo shorts.
Well, I got a whole section on German clothing and Canadian clothing, but especially the German clothing. It's a whole nother section. But so then we went live in Berlin, and you guys had already been there for an hour or two, and we took a train together, right?
Well, we had to go and tell the baggage people that our bags,
right.
I just figured our bags would get lost.
Yeah, and our bags didn't show up, right?
So
two different flights. Yours didn't even get like sidetracked.
No,
it didn't make it. Yours was American Airlines, right?
It was American, and then it was Air Berlin, and we waited. The bags didn't show up. I went to the little office. By the way, at the very entrance to the concourse there at Air Berlin, they have these young men, college age students, young men speak English flawlessly. Very helpful young men. Ask them anything. They told you exactly what you needed to do. We went down to the baggage place. The lady there couldn't have been more helpful. We filled out all the forms. She said, you'll get your bags sometime in the next 72 hours or something like that. And then Jeff and Beth showed up. No bags. We took them down there. Beth took care of everything.
That's right. Affiliates, if you're paying attention, we're going to go over here. If you want to break away from us at 5950, that's fine. But we shall continue talking about our travel log.
Yeah, right. No break, affiliates. So
we meet you there, right? Mm-hmm. And then we take the train.
Well,
We took a taxi, right?
We took a taxi to the main train station in Berlin, which is a very beautiful train station. And got there, got tickets. I think I inadvertently bought first class tickets, but I probably shouldn't have because
we didn't know the German words.
Yeah. So in any event, we got on the train. This was kind of my wife's first experience with Germany, and they don't know what air conditioning is. And it was, luckily, it was one of their fast trains, one of their ICE trains, which they travel upwards of 150 miles an hour. So the trip from Berlin down to Wittenberg was all of 35 minutes or something in that neighborhood. So it was a very quick trip.
I'd be remiss.
And we hadn't slept. Neither my wife and I had slept because I don't sleep on flights. And so to us, we're probably going on 20 hours without sleep by this time.
Berlin airport, biggest dump airport I've ever witnessed. Agree or disagree?
Yeah. I mean, I've been in a lot of bad airports, a lot of very bad airports, including some in third world countries. and including Houston Hobby Airport, which is one of the worst airports, or at least the last time I was down there, it's one of the worst airports that I've ever been in. And that Tegel Airport was not great. No.
Well, it was so bad. There was two German guys on the way back. He's like, what do you think of our airport? It's like, not much. And he's like, it's an embarrassment. It's a national embarrassment. It is like they've been trying. They claim they've been working on it for a decade or something. And it is. It's a mess. Anyway, so we finally get to Wittenberg, right? We take the train, first class, even though it didn't. I don't know if we were sitting in first class seats or not.
Beth went off onto some other carriage. And,
yeah.
And my wife and I just found seats.
Yeah. So we make it there. And then we decide to walk from the train station to the old Latin school.
We had been told, I'm not going to say who told us this. I don't want to embarrass him. He said, the old Latin school, it's an easy walk from the train station. And so I thought, easy walk sounds to me like a quarter mile. You know, that's what it sounds like. But it was, I think it was more like a mile and a half, and it was uphill.
On cobblestone streets.
Yeah, so you can, with our luggage.
With our luggage, the wheels dragging along. And do you recall what happened?
Well, let's
the
see.
The trail that was left by one of the Schwarzes' carry-ons.
My wife and I were walking behind the Schwarzes on a sidewalk, and I looked down, and I just saw lying there in the... I told my wife, because I've been to Germany several times, I told my wife, Germany's such a clean country. They're so meticulously clean. And I looked down, and there's a deodorant laying on the sidewalk. And I just walked past it, and I thought, well, I guess I'm eating my words. People just throwing deodorant out the window. And then we walk a couple more steps, and then there's like a tube of something laying there on the sidewalk. This is like 24 hours without sleep. I'm not putting it together in my head. But then I realize that Beth is walking ahead of us, and she's got her suitcase, and she's got a plastic bag hooked into her suitcase full of toiletries, and it's been dragging on the ground. It's worn a hole in it, and all of her stuff is just being left like breadcrumbs. Jeff ran back and picked everything up. And
all right.
The girls were being really, really... good sports.
Yeah, we would have been loco.
At this point, they were being really, really good sports.
Yeah. So we get there and we're just like, we're dirty. We're in the same clothes. We had been the same clothes since Saturday, and this is Monday afternoon. It's one of the hottest days. They had one of the hottest days in Wittenberg, and so we're just like, let's just get this first show done, and shower, get to bed. Maybe our luggage will show up.
We got there to the old Latin school, beautiful place, wonderful people to help us there. And I said, I got to go set up. I told my wife, we got up to the room. I said, no, I got to go down and set up. We got to do the show. And she gave me one of those looks like, you are kidding me. After all of this, you're going to go down and do your show.
We did.
Yeah, we went down and did the show.
So... we got that show, but then we needed clothes. I could have had a day's worth of clothes, but I left it in the overhead carry-on baggage on Air Zurich or Air Swiss or whatever it was.
Had I not been traveling with my wife, I can assure you, I probably wouldn't have worried as much about clothes. I probably just would have worn the same thing every day. But women tend to think more about what they're wearing, and it was simply an unacceptable situation for both Beth and Maria that we would be there and not...
I couldn't wear the same underwear for 6 days. I'm sorry. Speaking of underwear, so this required, to fast forward, so to speak, our luggage doesn't arrive till Thursday. We left on Saturday.
That's the day before we leave to come home.
Yeah. Yes. So this required, fortunately, right across from the old Latin school is a big mall, right? So we made daily trips to the mall for day by day buying clothing, which hopefully... Air Canada and Air Berlin will reimburse us for. Now, let me just look a few fashion tips here. All right. Guys, you buy underwear in Germany, let's just say there's no holes. You need to know this. I learned. There's no holes.
I bought boxers. I was fine.
I wore whatever Beth bought me. But so you need to know that.
Were there holes in the boxers? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They were just good old-fashioned boxers.
Another thing on attire in Germany, What's with men wearing tight, form-fitting clothes with sleeveless shirts? Okay, you don't have a body for the Tour de France. Okay, why with the? They all look like they're bikers. It was sleeveless shirts. What's with the German men?
I noticed that it wasn't the young kind of 20-something.
No.
It was these guys that were obviously in their mid-40s in every possible way, including their waist size.
Yes, they're tight.
They're wearing like Tour de France biking shirts. It was
so
weird.
The luggage, to put a close on the luggage fiasco, last day, Thursday, there's a service that would do laundry. So I go Thursday morning and go pick up laundry. So we had some clothes that we could wear again. I see down the street a guy at the door of the old Latin school. It's early in the morning. And I was always concerned about that nobody would answer the door because it wasn't during hours of operation. And I see him ringing. And then he looked in his hand like those things, the FedEx or the UPS guys where you got a sign. And I'm like, this is the guy with our luggage. I just start running as fast, like Chariots of Fire, slow motion. I'm just running as fast as I can. It's like, this is our guy. This guy's going to show up.
So picture Jeff in flip-flops and his newly acquired German clothing.
With no holes in the underwear.
Running down a cobblestone street. Yes, that's the picture there.
Yes, and I'm yelling at him, stop, 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 stop. And sure enough, it was the guy. And I said, suitcases? He said, yeah, suitcases. I said, how many? And he said, five. I said, that's good, because I knew you had two, and we had three. And he said, Schwarz? I said, yeah, that's me. Jawohl. And I said, Wilken? No, nine. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. But fortunately, they had all five of our bags on Thursday.
This is Thursday morning. I get a call from Jeff. He's out of breath. And he says, Wilken, I think they have your bags down here. I'm just going to go ahead and sign for them. And he's just panting and breathing heavily. And this is the life of the host. I nonchalantly saunter downstairs, and Jeff is pulling up all the bags to the front of the
I had wiped away the tears by
Latin
the time
school.
You had come down the steps, just so you know. Now, another new category, debit/credit cards.
Yeah, this is
idiots here. We have debit cards.
We're the idiots.
Yes, idiots here. Yeah, not the German people, us. We have debit cards, but we've never signed up for PIN numbers because we just use them as credit cards here.
There are business cards. We use them purchases for the business. They're LPR cards. And I use mine like what? When I travel, and I use it perhaps once a year other than that. And we hadn't assigned them a PIN number.
We've had these cards for what, Greg? 9 years?
9 years, yeah.
9 years.
Hadn't got a PIN number.
Never signed up for PIN numbers, which, by the way, we found out you do need when traveling overseas.
So we had called in advance, told the banks for both our business and our personal cards that we're going to be over there, where we're going to be. They knew all that stuff. And I called our bank for our business card one morning, and I said, look, this is not working. I don't have a PIN number. They won't run it as a credit. And luckily, Jeff was like had a card that was working, went to an
ATM. Personal card, yeah.
Yeah, and pulling money out of his personal account and handing it off to Wilken so that Wilken could pay for dinner and things like that. And then I kind of get blurry on the details. The nice guy at the bank said, well, you can either come in and pin the card with our machine here.
Or
we'll mail you something and you can fill out the form and then one of our officials will sign off on it and you can have your PIN number within a week or so. I said, well, I'm in Germany, so that's not going to work.
But we were surprised how many businesses, I mean, these are big, it's a tourist area, don't take credit.
Yeah, they would not run it as a credit. Now, I don't think they...
I'm talking about even some of them wouldn't take credit cards, period.
Oh, yeah, that's
I'm
true.
Talking about big restaurant chains, I don't know, chains, but big restaurants wouldn't take credit cards.
Yeah, I don't know how much of it was they wouldn't or they didn't want to. So it was... All I heard was impossible every time I tried to run it as a credit. But in any event, I think eventually we figured out that my wife's personal card worked after I talked to my personal bank.
Yeah, you figured that out about Wednesday.
Yeah, about Wednesday. So we were able to go to an ATM and actually get some money. But the whole time, I'm just like, Jeff, I even told you before we left, I said, I'm not confident about these cards really working over there. And it proved to be kind of a hassle.
Well, yeah, two things. Number one is some places didn't use credit cards, period. Didn't even matter if we had it.
Right.
But we should have had.
We should have had.
Lynn Fredrickson's taking care of it. We'll have, I guarantee you, we'll have the if we can remember them, you know, the PIN numbers for our debit cards. Now, transitioning, food. Food. Would you like to say anything about food?
I thought the food was great. I have been to Germany several times, so I've eaten the German food. I don't need that experience again. So whenever I went someplace, I always got something that wasn't, it's all German food because Germans are making it, but I got something that wasn't the typical German food. I ate a lot of fish. It was, and the food, as far as I was concerned, was one of, other than the show, was the highlight of the trip. Now, Jeff somehow ended up at a restaurant. Jeff doesn't like potatoes. Okay, this is something you need
to know.
I
don't like German food. I don't like sauerkraut. I know my name's Schwartz, but ich bin ein Italiener.
So one evening we saw him walking down the street. He'd just gone to get some cash because the restaurant wouldn't take a card. And we walked back with him to the table where he and his wife were sitting at the restaurant. And everything on their plate, they had a whole table full of food. There was not a square inch of your table that wasn't covered with a plate full, like piled with food, and most of it was all potatoes.
I know. I just
somehow
ate the
you
meat.
Ended up at a potato restaurant.
Yeah, I ate the meat, and Beth took all the side dishes. the bratwurst fiasco.
Well, we had bratwurst for breakfast the first morning,
and it looked great
because we just stepped outside the old Latin school. There's a guy across the street we were going to go over to the mall to buy clothes, and the guy across the street was selling bratwurst, and I got to apologize in advance. We ate the last two. Huh. My wife and I ate the last two. But you couldn't find... And they were delicious.
But we didn't go to like normal lunchtime, maybe like one or two. And none of those little roll-on... What do they call those people? The little... Craig, what do they call those guys with the wheels? Cart. Yeah, like the bratwurst carts. They were gone. I mean, they were just gone. It was like, I guess it's past lunchtime here. But we just go restaurant, bratwurst, right? It's got to be in every restaurant. Bratwurst? Nine. Bratwurst? Nine. Bratwurst? It's like, are you kidding me? This is Germany. I mean, what do you mean there's no bratwurst? I mean, I just want a brat. What is the deal? It got so bad that we walk into a deli, okay? A deli. They don't make sandwiches. A deli. And I said, bratwurst? And she said, nine? But she spoke a little English. She goes, and I told her, I was like, we can't find bratwurst anywhere. And she said, I make some for you. She took bratwurst and went back. I don't know if she microwaved or what she did with it and brought it back. She found some bread somewhere. That was the only bratwurst we got to eat the whole trip. But you go, you expect to be bratwurst. Well, we go to Italy, right? Calzone, right? I want a calzone. Walking in. Calzone? Nobody's got calzone. Well, come on. What is this? You know, who's been selling me? I mean, is calzone an American ripoff of Italy?
Yeah, I think
Italy
so.
Or
I think it probably is.
So, I mean, and so we finally found them. And, you know, in the States, are kind of like pizza pockets, you know, and they got sauce and cheese and some kind of meat. No, it's just like mozzarella cheese on the inside or provolone cheese in a fried bread thing.
Well, yeah, so a calzone, I speak from experience of...
You're supposed to say calzone, I learned.
Having worked in a pizza parlor all through high school, the calzone has cheese in it.
Yeah, it's supposed to have cheese, but...
If you want them one with the meat, that's Stromboli.
So it's the same thing. It was my fault.
Yeah.
But I just thought ironic that I couldn't get a calzone in Italy or bratwurst in Germany.
Although your wife was posting pictures of food that looked really, really good.
Yes, it did. But the Italian food was much better than German food. Ice cream. What is the deal? I had no idea that German people love ice cream for breakfast. I mean, we're walking the streets of Gutenberg at 8 in the morning and there's lots of people eating ice cream.
You got to describe this, the ice cream. It's not just there are all these outdoor tables and people sitting, going in and getting their ice cream. And it's not just a scoop on a cone. It's a plate with like 9 scoops of ice cream. It's basically how Craig eats ice cream in the evening. It's a quart of ice cream on a plate. with all sorts of fancy stuff sticking out of it. Just 10:30 in the morning, going to have me some ice cream, going to eat me my daily intake of sugar for the next 2 weeks. And yeah, it was now my wife and I tried the ice cream someplace. I don't know where it was. And it was really, really good.
It was good. We did too. Who knew though? Germans, ice cream for breakfast.
They're crazy.
You only find this stuff out on the Wilkin and Shores travelogue, just so you know. Dine and dash. I could have made a killing on dining and dashing in Germany. The service, worst than anything you will experience here in the United States. And I was like, is it the employees are lazy? That's how I thought originally. But two places I went at, I mean, there are at least 30 to 40 people eating, and they had one waiter or waitress. The cheap German owner of those restaurants have one waiter or waitress working them. Are you kidding me? And I could have left without paying for almost every meal in Germany, and nobody would even known. You know, they, there's no way. Although it's such a small town, there's like, yeah, there's the guy. You know, next day you probably see me walking down the street. But I mean, you could have dined and dashed like nobody's business, and you know, saved hundreds of dollars.
Now I was prepared. Like I said, I've been there before and been other places, and they eat slower. There's no hurry. If you want a waiter, you gotta get their attention. It's not because it's not like the United States where your waiter is essentially standing at your elbow all the time, filling up your water glass every 15 seconds. So I was kind of prepared for that. Although I had forgotten that when you're ready to pay, you really have to track your waiter down and tell him in explicit terms you want to pay, because otherwise they'll let you sit there all night. They will. They're not.
Or you could walk away.
Yeah,
exactly. And not pay. Beer. Did you have any beer in Germany?
No. Okay. I did not have any beer that I remember.
And I will upset many people. Not a big fan of the German beer.
Oh, really?
Not at all. Italy beer, great. German beer, what is the deal? Are you supposed to have like an aftertaste after every swig of beer? I mean, a strong aftertaste, is that the mark of a good beer?
I don't know. What's your preferred beer here?
Oh, I drink like American stuff. I'll drink like Michelob Light or Bud
Select.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, you're a Michelob Ultra guy.
Yeah, Michelob Ultra. Yeah. If I can, only if it's on sale and I can afford it. Like Christmas, I once a year I drink Ultra. I treat myself to a 6-pack of Christmas time on vacation. It's the only time I can afford it.
Yeah,
I can't even afford it then. But anyway, it's like you drink it and it's like all of a sudden it's like that was really good, and then all of a sudden something kicks back. It's like, well, that wasn't very good. The aftertaste, what's with that?
We drank wine. My beer days are way behind me, so we drank wine, and the wine was unbelievable. It was really good. Just regular old rail wine from the restaurant was really super good.
Okay, I've been to Italy before, so this fits right in line with the bratwurst in Germany and the calzone in Italy. We go and sit down at a pizza thing and ask for Chianti. I mean, last time I was in Italy, everybody drinks Chianti. They don't have Chianti.
Oh, really?
Come on, it's Italy. No,
they had
Chianti
it in Germany.
What's that?
We ate that one night with
Dr. Cameron McKenzie.
Yeah, and he ordered Chianti.
Irony of ironies. I can get Chianti in Germany, but not Italy. Go figure. All right, broadcasts. So we fortunately packed our equipment, right? But there was one piece of heavy equipment. We bought a $50 transformer/adapter to deal with the electrical voltage difference between Germany and the United States, right?
Which we never got to plug in because it was in the suitcases.
The reason I had to take three suitcases was because that thing was so heavy and we went over the 50-pound mark, so we had to take a third suitcase. Well, that was in the suitcases that didn't make it till Thursday. So the first day, there's always a running joke because either Schwartz at remotes either forgets to turn on the on-air light or leaves it on while we're not broadcasting. You're like, Jeff, yeah. Well, there was no on-air light because the minute we plugged it in, it popped. It blew out both bulbs, and then we blew out the fuse to the speakers.
And that was my fault because I just failed to switch the voltage switch on the speakers.
But had we had our $50 Amazon.com transformer/adapter, it wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah, which Jeff had spent days and days researching
exactly.
In order to get just exactly the right transformer.
Exactly. So then Beth and I...
That occasioned your bicycle trip
to Obi's, the Home Depot of Germany. We go in there and we take the Christmas bulb. Again, German efficiency. The Christmas or the bulbs for the on-air light and the fuse. I can't, just like you go to any hardware store here other than RP Lumber. Nobody's there to help you. You know, you're going down the electrical aisles and you can see the bulbs and nobody's there. So I go to the front desk and like, you know, we'll call somebody. They call somebody. Just stay here. Stay here. It was like 25 minutes. I go back after 10, 15. Is he coming? Yeah, he's coming. A guy is like coming 25 minutes and he's I'm like, there's nobody in the store. What's the guy doing? You know? And when he comes to me, there's no sense of urgency, no. So anyway, so he goes back. I don't remember what he said in German, but basically their bulbs bases are different sizes. He said, you only get that Christmas time of year, Christmas stores. I was like, well, they're in Christmas stores.
You stick around until December, we'll get your bulb.
Yeah. Otherwise, we got nothing here for you. You know, and so they're Christmas stores? No. Nine.
But luckily, we could do the broadcast
without the on-air light.
Yeah, without the on-air light.
And then, of course.
It's just decoration.
He was very helpful with the fuse. It was very helpful with the fuse. So it was a little late to the party, but, you know, he did help us out a little bit. As far as the broadcast, I thought the highlight was that we're in Wittenberg, Germany. We're able to get Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Who would have thought we'd go to Wittenberg? And we've never had him in studio. The guy's been a guest on the show for more than two decades, and we get him in studio in Wittenberg, Germany.
Even when I remember one time when we used to work for Synod, he came by. Remember he was in St. Louis, and he made a special trip to come by and say hello to us? And we talked to him. Even then, we didn't have the opportunity to get him on the air in the studio. But I was walking down, my wife and I were walking down the street. We'd just come back from, or we're headed toward, I can't remember, the Castle Church, which is a little down from where we were staying. And I just heard someone speaking English, which was nice. And I saw this nice lady speaking English, talking to her husband. And they were in an antique store. I thought I recognized this woman. I see a lot of people, so I couldn't place her. And then I saw she was talking to Al Moeller. And I realized, this is his wife, and I recognize her from Facebook because I follow the exploits of their grandchild. They have a little grandson. And I introduced myself. We had a short conversation. He was kind enough to remember who I was. We have interviewed him many, many times, but he's kind enough to remember who I was. And I didn't even think about asking him to be on the show. They were picking something out, and I kind of just wanted to say hello and move on. But I texted Jeff. I said, "Is Rand Al Moeller?"
And what did I say? Text back.
Yeah.
What did I say?
What did you say?
Did you ask him for an interview?
Yeah. And
you said no.
No, I didn't. I didn't feel like I could.
You're too nice.
I'm not the producer of the show. I'm just the host. So
I went to bat. I was like, we can't pass this up.
And he was in town teaching a class
for Ligonier
with Ligonier Ministries, and just had some free time. Luckily, he was kind enough. What did you call his publicist or something like that?
Yeah, Colby Adams at Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville, and he gave us 15 minutes. He had to leave, and we dropped everything we were doing, and I thought that was a highlight. I thought lots of good interviews. I was very thankful Pastor Chris Eskett was kind of the chaplain there at the Old Latin School that week, because we got two really good interviews out of him, including our teaching a Sunday school lesson, which we couldn't do with Tom Baker, which we planned on doing because the internet had been spotty at the Old Latin School there in Wittenberg, and we need that to get be able to connect back in our studios here in Collinsville, Illinois. So I thought I was thankful Chris Eskett was there. I thought Dr. Martin Troy, in Wittenberg and the Reformation.
He was hilarious.
Was exceptional. I thought the broadcast went over quite well. And finally, on a high note, Wittenberg's a beautiful town. Agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's lovely. It is different from the last time I was there. It's much more touristy than it was the last time I was there.
Yeah, I kept telling Beth, how many of these businesses won't be around a year from now that just are moving in because of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation? And I can't say enough about the Old Latin School. A very impressive facility.
Kristen Lang did a great job. She was there anything you needed. She called taxi. She made sure that everything was A-okay.
Christine Lang and Magdalena Olson, great job. Hospitality off the church, as well as Dr. Al Culver, Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We thank them so much for their hospitality. It was a great memorable, a great way for us to partake in the little way that we did in the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation.
Yeah, absolutely. What was I going to... Oh, you, I just wanted you to say something about... Because you've been ranting about it since we got back. The... What did you say? Luther worship? We mentioned it.
I was going to end on a high note. And you always got to pull me back in the gutter. Okay. Yeah. The cult of Luther, the Luther worship is off the charts. And people, they're using Luther to put on anything that can be sold. They are, you know, Luther, the social justice warrior, Luther, the socialist, Luther, whatever. The radical Che Guevara of the 16th century. And another lesson I learned was... a deeper appreciation for God's word in the Lutheran confessions, because Lutherans don't follow the teachings and writings of Martin Luther. Despite what most non-Lutherans believe about us, that's not true. And this is why I think it's very important for lay people and pastor to return to God's word and the Lutheran confessions.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir here. That's It was a chance to go and kind of stand in those places, even though many of those places have been worked over a bunch of times. It was an opportunity to talk to some great guests and see that wonderful city that is Wittenberg, spend some time in that new facility that they have just done marvels with in the old Latin school, made a 400-year-old building that once housed Philip Melanchthon's kind of primary Latin school there into a great place for people to come and stay, and from which they can go and see the rest of Wittenberg in Germany. And in spite of the trials and travails of both getting there and back, we didn't even talk about traveling back. That was an experience in and of itself. But in spite of all that, my wife said it well. She goes, being there was great. That's what she said. Getting there was really, really hard. That was how she described it. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. And we will, if we have any other details we want to add, we will. But I think we covered everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Again, a special thanks to those anonymous donors who made the trip to Wittenberg and the broadcast there possible. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.